Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
And we'll move on from that issue. We might come back to later on in the programme. But for now, I want to go to Claire McCoy. Good afternoon, Claire.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Claire, you're calling us from the UK.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, calling from London.
And you are you want to answer the latest Ireland's call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, myself and my husband do. I suppose it's been a bit of a long road at the minute anyways. We got married. Well, I've been over here 10 years in the UK. I qualified back in 2011 as a nurse and I came straight over to the UK to work. And I met my husband, Dan, who's a primary school teacher. And yeah, we've been over here ever since. But kind of for the last, I suppose, 3 to 4 years, we've been really wanting to go home and, you know, start the next chapter of our lives, start a family and stuff like that. But it's just a little bit of an obstacle in the way at the minute is just the Irish requirement for the primary school teacher. Obviously, Dan, he's English himself, so he doesn't have that requirement. So it just makes it very hard to find a permanent position back home, you know. So
what is the story there? Is it possible to work as a substitute teacher without the language?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, yeah, you can work as a substitute teacher without the Irish requirement. But to get anything more permanent, you would need to get you would need to do the exam and that, you know, which is a little bit difficult because you know, you're either, you know, it's I suppose just with Dan having no background in the Irish language, it just makes it quite difficult for him, you know.
Yeah, it would be hard to start from scratch.
Exactly,
given how poor a lot of our Irish is for those of us who spent 14 years learning it in school.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you want to move home and you want to make that big move, you would want Dan to be available to get a permanent position, that you wouldn't be just looking
for substitute
teaching.
Yeah, exactly. Just to have that security. Yeah, absolutely. Just so, you know, that we can, you know, call Ireland home again, you know. But unfortunately, at the minute, you know, it's just not really an option. All he will be offered will be like supply roles, you know.
And in relation to these new jobs, have you looked into them, the all these new teacher positions that are going to be offered in order to facilitate the reopening of the schools?
Yeah, so I just obviously saw it yesterday being announced, and I suppose it just kind of brought it home again, you know, that like there could be opportunities for more teaching posts to become available. But like as I said, if you don't have the Irish requirement, there isn't going to be the possibility of getting, you know, a permanent position down the line, and that just, you know, makes it difficult, I suppose.
But I suppose a lot of people will feel the Irish requirement is really, really important to maintain it, particularly at primary level.
Yeah, I do understand that. And, like, you know, I definitely think that myself. Like, you know, the Irish language is important. It's important to our culture and everything like that. I do appreciate that. But I just feel, you know, in a way, like, would it not be better to have a little bit more nice to have like diversity within the primary school, so that there's a few more, you know, teachers with different backgrounds and stuff like that. Like that would be extremely beneficial to a school, that it's not just kind of like all centred around, because I suppose realistically, I'm sure there are primary school teachers out there who have come from other countries and who have learned the language, but if languages, I suppose, don't, you know, if it is tricky to pick up a language, especially when you get older, you know, it just becomes that more difficult to get that.
Dan is there, I think, as well, isn't he? Dan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Yeah, so what's your current position? Where are you working at the moment, Dan?
I currently work in a primary school in London as an assistant head teacher.
Right, so you're an experienced teacher.
Yes, yeah, and I've just been accepted onto the MPHQ, which is the qualification you need to become a head teacher. So I'm highly skilled, highly trained. It just seems extremely frustrating that I can't come to Ireland and settle down with my wife and start a family.
Well, I suppose especially when you hear that we're looking for all these new teachers to be taken on or to be made available to the system in the current circumstances. Is your degree or your qualifications completely transferable apart from this one issue?
Yes. I've spoken to people in Ireland regarding this situation, and it really is just the language that is putting the barrier in way of us coming to Ireland.
Have you considered the possibility of trying to learn Irish?
I got to be very honest. It would be pretty much impossible. I'm good at many things, but languages is not a strength of mine.
It would be a big ask. Although I'm thinking we've had two ministers with responsibility for the Irish language who had to start learning it, not quite from scratch, but had to learn the language when they were given that role.
I totally understand the importance of the Irish language as part of, you know, the Irish identity. But, you know, my skills are in other areas.
What would happen then? Because obviously, if you're in a primary class, that they're your full responsibility. How would you manage with the Irish language element, which is kind of knitted through quite a lot of the curriculum in primary schools?
It may be, yes, but, you know, in the English curriculum, we have to teach French. And I've adapted and been able to find resourcing and a way to teach French. I do not know in any way speak French. But there is resourcing and support out there for teachers to deliver that.
And you think you could do that with Irish?
Of course, yeah. Teaching is about being able to teach children. I could teach children anything with the correct preparation and the correct support.
Okay, stay with me, please, Dan and Claire, because I want to bring in Adrian Murphy. Adrian, good afternoon to you.
Yep.
Adrian,
I can hear you.
Oh, great. Adrian, you're an Irish teacher.
I am, yeah, secondary.
At secondary level. Listening to Dan there, it sounds like he's a highly, highly qualified teacher. He says there are resources and ways and means if he has to teach Irish to primary school children. But he thinks, you know, he would really like to offer his services to the Irish education system, and he can't.
Yeah, I'd be empathetic to the situation, you know, especially I think wife is obviously Irish and trying to get back to Ireland. But I suppose the crux of it is that if you change the requirements, you're going to have a knock-on effect into secondary school. Numbers are going to drop. And, like, I don't know what it'd be like if I was a primary teacher out in Spain, but I'm quite sure that I'd need Spanish, you know, and...
But Irish isn't, unless you're in a Gael school or going into a Gael school, it's not going to be your primary language for teaching in the same as it would be perhaps in Spain.
No, it's not, but I suppose Irish is our native tongue, you know, it's one of these things that it's always a topic of conversation trying to protect it, but, you know, I think that... It's incumbent on all of us. It's our duty to protect it. And if you go along the line of making it, I suppose, optional for people trying to get employment, possibly temporary, that might be a runner. You know, especially if people are willing to come back and help out. But I think long term, you know, if Irish isn't mandatory for, let's say, a teaching qualification in a primary school, then you're going down a road where Irish will end up becoming non-existent. Because if you ask...
Do you think it's the rules like this is what's actually keeping the language in some way on life support?
No, but I think if you ask a seven-year-old, would they like to study Irish or not, a seven-year-old isn't going to say, yes, I do. You know, they're not going to say...
In no way am I saying that I don't advocate teaching Irish. I think Irish is extremely important. But it's about employing staff and getting them to teach to their strengths. I'm highly qualified as a PE teacher. And at the moment, with this current pandemic, child obesity is an extremely big issue. Do we have, or do you have in Ireland, the highly trained PE teachers that are going to be able to cope with this current situation? Maybe it's about placing teachers with the correct skills in the correct place.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but the danger is, like, we'd be Ireland on call for nurses and doctors coming back across the globe, and I've read several articles where they came back and there were no jobs there. So, you know, I know the department has thrown out their numbers of how many teachers are going to come in, but I'm wondering, is that a worst-case scenario job, or is that going to happen immediately? And then the last thing you want is somebody to make the jump or take the leap, come back to Ireland for the good of everybody, and then be landed with no job next year.
Yeah,
well, you know, and the potential for that to happen is there, you know.
Yeah, well, bear with me, please, Adrian. I want to go to Eoin O'Day. Eoin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
You think Dan could learn Irish?
Yeah, I mean, I feel for him, and I hear everything he's saying there about he wants to come over and help Ireland's cause at the moment. But, I mean, just by him not having Irish, we're having a whole class of students who learn out and learning their national language, and that would be a real shame. And while I understand what he's saying, I don't accept when he's saying that he can't learn Irish. I mean, there's so many more resources out there now than ever. We have things like Duolingo, where over 4 million people have started learning Irish in Duolingo. And the vast majority of them aren't from Ireland. Over half of them are from America. And I mean, I speak Irish, but I know so many people from different countries who are fluent in the language, people who are over here as teachers, who are doing different professions. And he'd be surprised how much he could learn if he put his heart to it.
I'm sure I could learn in time, but you know, the education problem is now, isn't it? And you know, there is a shortage of teachers now, and I'm willing to come over now to help solve that problem.
Can I ask you, Eoin, what standard do you have to achieve to satisfy this requirement, do you know, for the primary level? Because presumably you're going to be teaching kids up to the age of 12. So would you have to have fluent Irish, or is there a limited amount of Irish that you could get by on?
I can't answer with the Department of Education, but I suppose you'd like to think our teachers would have a good enough level to teach Irish to the students. I mean, there's very, very different levels of various different classes. But I suppose the basic question is, do we want our students in schools learning Irish? And if so, our teachers need to have it. And just because if we start having, well, I feel for him, over time, if he learned it, we could have, like, we can't have a class not learning Irish for 1 year. I mean, how would that work? Would you have to get another teacher in to teach those classes of Irish?
Dan is suggesting that he could, that you can't, you don't have to speak a language in order to teach a language, I think. Am I right there, Dan, in interpreting what you were saying to me?
There's several solutions to that problem. It's about redirecting your staff in your school to their strengths. Maybe the staff in the school don't have a strength in PE. That's something that I can provide across the school whilst covering other staff during their PE lessons to teach Irish in my class. I can also use that time to learn the language.
Yeah, what about that, Eoin? The idea that we look at what our teaching staff have and deploy it across the school in the best possible way.
Again, I can't speak on behalf of the Department of Education again, but that would probably require changing whole teaching methods in primary schools all across the country. And I don't think it's going to be something that changes overnight. It would require
If you try to diversify in the schools, like you're saying, like, and Eoin, bang on, you're going to make more of a logistical, it's going to be a logistical nightmare to try and do that at this stage of the year. And the other thing, and Eoin probably, I know Eoin from my college days above in Dublin. He'd be very a big advocate from an Irish point of view. But you'd also have a lot of teachers in Ireland who've gone to become primary school teachers and didn't get it on the basis they didn't have Irish. And you'd have quite a substantial amount, because the level that is required would be substantially high. And if we're going to go down the route of saying, right, we don't need Irish, then I suppose, you know, I personally would know quite a few who didn't become primary teachers on the basis that their level of Irish wasn't high enough or deemed high enough.
Right.
Would they have all
made good primary school teachers, do you think?
No question, but we're talking about...
So was it a good
Irish
idea to stop them in their tracks for this one requirement?
Well, I suppose from an educational point of view, if Irish is a core subject, then yes. You know, unfortunate as it is, and I wouldn't, you know, it's very difficult for people, you know, going back to college and getting their degrees and everything else, and I know that myself, but, you know, if it's deemed a requirement, it's a requirement.
Okay. Okay. Stay there, Adrian. I've got Sarah Toomey. I want to go to Sarah. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah. Where do you stand on this one, Sarah?
I think if he wants to have a job in Ireland in an Irish primary school, he has to learn Irish. Plain and simple.
Okay. No, it's ifs or buts there, Sarah. But I mean, do you hear what he's saying? That he has a lot of other skills that he can bring to the system and to the school if he got a job, and that, you know, that this Irish bar is not a positive thing for the education system.
Well, it might be positive for him, but it's positive for all the children of the country who are learning their language. And if he's not willing to do a course in learning basic Irish, well, then he doesn't deserve a job in Ireland.
Unfortunately, it's not a course in basic Irish. It's actually quite a high-level Irish that knowing quite a few Irish people, it would be at a level that they can't speak themselves, which is extremely frustrating.
Sarah, your daughter's in the car with you there.
Yeah, she is. She is.
And she's doing her Leaving Cert.
She's doing her Leaving Cert, and she said the same. She was just listening to it and saying, OK, he's saying he's highly skilled at PE. There's plenty of people who are highly skilled at PE. But if he wants a job in an Irish school, if I'm a doctor in a hospital, I have to be able to do every skill. If he wants to teach in an Irish school, he gets the skills necessary for the job. If he doesn't have them, tough luck.
Tough luck, Dan.
Oh, wow. Very, very inviting.
Well, that's the way it is. If you don't have the qualifications for the job, you don't get the job.
Oh, nice.
What kind of loopholes would this open up if we make exceptions for one teacher? I mean,
it's not about making exceptions for one teacher, is it? It's about solving a crisis that's happening in education at the moment with a lack of teachers. So well, it would be a group of highly skilled teachers coming over to hear the call of Ireland and help out. Also,
there's plenty of people coming in Ireland
to pay into the economy.
Okay, bear with me. I want to go to Angela. Angela, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Is that an English accent, Angela?
It is, yeah.
tell me your situation.
Well, I was teaching in England for 16 years, deputy and acting head. Had the headship qualifications, 16 years of teaching, and then met a man over here and ended up having to work for my career and learn the Irish.
And you did you learn Irish?
From nothing to the qualification, yeah. SEG it's called.
Fantastic, well done.
That is that is brilliant, Angela. And how long did it take you?
From the minute I came over, I started learning it, but 6 years of hard graft, the last two serious hard graft. But there was five or six of us down here in West Cork that did it together, and you just had to put your head down and do it. But I was working all through.
You were working, as a substitute teacher, were you? You wouldn't have had a permanent position.
No permanent position, but there was work all the way through that. Yeah, to be teaching. As long as you've got your teaching council recognition, then you can work.
And do you have a really good level of Irish now then?
Well, it's SCG. It'd be like the first year of a degree. It's beyond Leaving Cert. Love the grammar, love the reading and writing. The oral gets a bit rusty if I don't use it, but I am actually living with a Irish speaking fella. So,
oh, are you?
Yeah. So that helps. But as for the
do you speak
schoolwork,
Irish in the house, Angela?
We did more so when I was doing it, when I was revising and doing that. I've got out of the habit. But yeah, we do, and I've kind of have an ear for it now.
So say something to me in Irish. Say, you know,
down on me, Gwelga, Kupla Blino Hin, Tommy, Corny, Bailo, Hungarig. It's rusty, that's the thing now, so I have to get back into it. But no complaints from parents. A better understanding probably of the paperwork of Irish, the grammar and the reading and the writing, because you have to learn it in a different way.
Yeah, and I'm thinking as well, I suppose, a better understanding of the challenges for you, for the kids who are learning the language, because you have just come through you know, in terms of picking up the grammar and all of that?
Oh, definitely. One of the biggest things in my class is if they don't understand quela, quela, lahan, lahan, I say I cried for weeks not understanding it. So you've no excuse.
And what was obviously you felt you had no choice in this, that you just decided to put your head down and do it.
Yeah.
And you don't regret it?
Oh God, no. I love it. Really love it. Yeah.
Dan.
It is possible.
It's possible, Dan.
I'm sure it is in 6 years, but like I've said, the problem with education is now and the call is for now. And
well, you would still get work, that's the thing.
Yes, but it depends if I'm able to gain that qualification in the end, isn't it? And, I'm not sure I will be able to.
There was five of us doing it together and every one of us are working full time now, permanent.
And were all five of you learning
total
it from scratch
blowing.
In order to work in the Irish primary school system?
And we all had been teaching in England for years before that.
It doesn't, like, so it's not that unusual, Dan. If there was five in Angela's class down there in West Cork, there must be classes running in order to achieve this qualification.
Well, the qualification every year has about 200 people going for the exam at Easter. So there are people doing it.
Yeah, I do. I presume that quite a few of those would be Irish people.
Returned.
would have come back, or people would have done Irish maybe to some level themselves in school and needed to bring it up to that level. Mm. Will you stay with me, Angela? I want to go to Natasha. Natasha, good afternoon.
Hi, Casey. How are you? Just sitting at home here and listening to our teachers debate the Irish there. Obviously, I'd be very passionate about our ancestors and our past and our ethnicity and stuff like that. But I do think what this COVID has taught us, we're all on a big change management program here. You know, we've all had to adapt and change. And one of the key buzzwords you hear all the time through education is inclusivity. And you have Dan there who's saying he's obviously highly qualified. You know, he's equivalent of our vice principal level. And he wants to come here and he wants to settle down and he wants to, raise his family here. He's not saying it's impossible that he's learned Irish, but he knows he couldn't do it in a defined time period. But he does have other skills and resources. And I sort of challenge the teachers there and say, not every teacher is, great at the LTN whistle or the art or the drama or even sport or other topics that come up. And what do? They share resources. And I would say adaptable teachers now look to their colleagues for support and resource and those. And I definitely know schools that my children have been involved with, there has been that peer learning and support, because that's what you'd want. That's what you're trying to teach your kids. You can't be great at everything, but you find a team, you network, and you find someone that can provide that support. And I just think maybe we need to be more inclusive here in Ireland and realise not everyone speaks the same language. Our kids need to speak other languages and to be diversified and to take the learning opportunity, the teachable moment that someone else can offer us.
Okay, I'll have to leave it there. Natasha, many thanks for that. I'm going to take a break and I want to wish you, Dan, the very best of luck, and Claire, and I hope we do find a way to come home. And thanks to all our callers on that. 51551 is our text number.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I want to go back now to a topic that we were discussing there earlier in the show. Richard Dennehy, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you keeping?
Richard, we were talking about teachers, an English teacher wanting to come home to teach in Ireland, but is blocked by this requirement that they are able to teach Irish to a certain level.
That's correct. I feel very sorry for him because I really get the impression that the panel of experts that you have with you aren't really very helpful towards him, that they seem to have this attitude, because you don't speak, we don't want you. I mean, the man has something to offer. Let's give him a chance. Let's even try and assist him to get to the level that's necessary, even to suggest to him, look, we know this course you could go to, and they will give it. Let him know what's required of him, because the reality is that, I think you know, so that most people in Ireland don't speak Irish, unfortunately. But, I mean, to get to the basic level, it shouldn't be that difficult. But we should be helped. I feel very sorry because I don't feel he's been given any assistance at all. he's more or less been just cast aside. We're not interested.
Well, now, I don't know about that, because we did have our caller, Angela, who was telling him that she did exactly as some people were suggesting he should do. She came home but not a word of Irish and spent 6 years slogging hard to get up to the level and get her exams and, you know, in that way was able to get a job in an Irish school. I suppose the thing is, people feel very strongly about this Irish rule, Richard. You were obviously not fundamentalist about the Irish requirement, are you?
I'm not really, because my experience in life is that we use Irish very little. That's the truth of it. The only thing I can remember really having to use Irish was when we were in a particularly tricky situation, myself and a couple of friends, after Ireland beat England in Stuttgart in Euro 88, went to this pub and we're surrounded by these English guys. It's quite obvious it's going to be, something's going to happen, because they're getting very rowdy and very arrogant and they're starting drinking bottles and singing and whatever else. And I said to the lads in my best Mickey Mouse Irish, as I'm finishing my drink, I said, "Nor a dirt may a mocking, or a dirt may a mocking a topic, or he can too." And knew what I was saying. So maybe I finished drinking, says, "Inish," and straight off we got up and went out.
You see, it is vitally important. It was a life-saving use of the language,
that's very
perhaps.
Poor Irish. That's very poor art.
Yeah, everyone understood it, though. Everyone who needed to understand it understood it, Richard. But you were really ringing in because you felt sorry for Dan and you felt he needed a bit of support.
I do, yeah. I mean, the poor man. I mean, look, I was really rubbish at Irish, and I have to say that. I mean, I started learning Spanish as a hobby 8 years ago. To my shame, I know way more Spanish than I do Irish. I just found Irish, it was very badly structured when I was in primary school anyway. I was never taught to say, "I am, you are, he is, she is," or whatever. I was so bad when I was 16, 17 years of age. I was just saying Tom A. Farr. Shocking.
Shocking,
me,
Richard.
Man.
Richard, I have to take a break. Stay with us. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
I just want to go to Mary. Mary, we're nearly out of time, but you also wanted to support Dan.
Yes, I thought Dan was... Hi, Katie. I just thought that Dan was getting a pretty hard time earlier on. And my point was that I think the most important thing about a teacher, particularly a primary school teacher, is that they have the ability to teach, to educate. And he has those qualifications from England.
Yeah, and as he was telling us, he's a highly qualified PE instructor, which I think a lot of our primary schools could really do with.
Yes, yes. And I would agree with that idea where teachers could, in this circumstances, alternate with each other. You know, he would take another class for PE, and a teacher who loves the Irish language and who is very proficient in the Irish language could take his class. Because I also think if your teacher loves Irish, they will pass that love on to the pupils.
Absolutely. We have to leave it there, Mary. Thanks so much for
thanks,
that. I'm
Katie.
Sure Dan will appreciate the late
support
from yourself. And thanks as well to Richard. And that's all we have time for. Today's programme was produced by Lisa Marie Berry. Jamie Doyle was on sound and Richie Byrne researched. Until tomorrow afternoon, have a great evening.